You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I find it interesting in society we often hear about people talk about going to therapy or seeing their doctor, and we hear some really amazing things that happen. We hear people stop going for whatever reason, but rarely does a caring therapist ever come out and actually discuss their struggles and their issues. And I find that it's time to bring those subjects up. You know, because I know that we hear about the client and I hear about how great some of my clients are doing, and I'm so appreciative, and other times it's more difficult. And I find that when a therapist is really qualified and caring and knowledgeable and understands the human psyche very well, that same therapist will feel struggles and have issues when dealing with certain client situations. And I want to talk tonight about what I hear and how it affects me. And I think that this is all going to kind of create a puzzle for you and these different pieces of the puzzle that are going to reveal itself to you tonight. You know, I've learned in life that we can learn the easy way, and some of us choose the more challenging way. However, it all depends on what we truly want, what we're accustomed to, and how honest we are with ourselves. The first thing that I hear often from clients is that I don't have time for therapy. I just don't have the time. I got all these responsibilities. I got kids. I got husband. I got wife. Either way, I'm not saying that you have both. Just saying that you got one or the other. I got a girlfriend, boyfriend. I got a corporation that I'm running. I have three children. Whatever it is, I understand that we as human beings usually develop quite a bit of responsibility. And that's normal. And you know, it's like, it's interesting when you think about how busy we are. There's sometimes I think that we are a little busier than we really are. But for the most part, I realize the responsibility level. And I realize that time is very important. But what I have realized throughout my practice and throughout my years of study is that the issues that we have don't go away on their own. Much like if you have a broken leg, I mean, I've done these kind of things where I sit there and meditate and pray and do that kind of thing. But for the most part, I've got to go get a cast on it. I've got to go see a doctor and have an x-ray done. And if it heals on its own, it might not heal the right way. And it's just like that, is that these things aren't going to go away. You know, the issues that we struggle with just don't float by and go, I'll see you later, toodles, it's been nice. We've decided just to move on right now and make your life really awesome. But that's usually not the way it actually goes. And I find it interesting as well that we look at the fact that we don't have time for therapy. But aren't we, when we're not really ourselves and we don't know who we are and we haven't really figured out our purpose, aren't we really spinning in circles? And doesn't that really equate to the fact that we're really wasting our life until we have that epiphany? And usually that life-changing epiphany arrives later on in life, and you wish you could have had it earlier. You wish you could have had it earlier, and so you look at it with like great regret. I can't believe I've been doing the same thing, expecting different results. I've been running around in circles doing this. I have been extremely busy and I have no time for therapy. But yet, what I was really doing was wasting my life, creating the same havoc and problems in my life that don't benefit me. Quite the opposite, actually. They actually hold me back, but aren't I also holding myself back because I don't have time for therapy? And I understand, it's not like I haven't been on both sides of this table before. That's what's so amazing, and that's why I can talk about this, because I've been on both sides. And for the most part, any good therapist worth their weight in anything had to have gone from one extreme to another to understand the human psyche, the reasons why we do things, the emotional pull, why we hold ourselves back, the reason why we make certain choices, the reason why we make choices to screw ourselves over on a daily basis. The only reason I honestly know exactly what I'm talking about is because I went through it. And in order to come out the other side, I had to make these changes. And one of the first things that I realized in life is I had to find somebody that understood me, that has been through hell and come back around, that knows the challenges, that understands having fear, that understands dealing with a home life that might have not have been the most perfect home life and how that can create issues in our future and throughout our life. And even better than that, actually being able to identify the pitfalls that we choose to fall into to basically undermine ourselves. I know it's a lot there, but in order to be who I am now, I had to go through that. And so as a caring professional, when I see my clients going through that, yes, I feel some pain for them. And you know, a lot of times too, I just wish I could just shake them and say, stop doing this. We can work together for 6 months and your entire life will change. But if you continue to keep doing this and finding excuses that you can't do this and that you don't have enough time, because basically it's based on fear, right? We're used to doing the same stuff. We haven't gotten to know ourselves. Is it really a big deal? Do we have skeletons in the closet? Could we cry? Could we emotionally cry? Will there come a time where we might cry about some stuff we did? Well, I hope so. I hope you have some moral, emotional fiber that makes you cry about certain things, because that's life. That's life, really. That's the way it is. And you know, we go through patterns of life that are supposed to teach us something. And eventually, once we get it, we stop going through that pattern. Because we realize that's not necessarily the direction I should go. But better yet, it's not only ending the pattern, it's realizing why we went through the pattern in the first place. And when you find someone that's as good and skilled at what they do, they can help you see that even clearer and faster than on your own. I think it's interesting how even myself, I figured out a lot of things at a pretty early age compared to the average human. Okay, I'm just trying to break it down as far as consensus is concerned when you think about at what age do most people awaken? I mean, some don't ever. Okay, we're going to throw that out there. Some really honestly don't ever awaken. The majority of people honestly awaken when their time of life is about to end. Okay, and that's why I'm writing my next book is called Deathbed Wisdom. Is that usually people wake up when they're on their deathbed and they realize, oh my God, I was missing the whole point. I let all this stuff and all these things get in the way. All these material items that I thought were so important to me. And yeah, now my Maserati or my Ferrari can't help me get out of bed. The money I have in the bank, maybe I'm getting some nurse and some extra care, but other than that, can't do anything with it. And some of the best things in my life I missed out on because I was too busy focusing on the wrong thing, but I hadn't even figured out who I was yet. Because I've been trying to avoid that because I didn't want to deal with any emotional pain. And the thing that we don't ever realize is that, yes, it's painful. Maybe in the beginning for some, but for the most part, it's the most amazing feeling and the most amazing awakening you'll ever have in your entire life, because that's why we're here. So it's like when somebody finally, like, you know, pulls the wool off of your eyes and says, here, this is it. Check it out. And at first it might be painful. At first your eyes might be blinded by the light. Sure, there might be some crying. Sure, there might be some anger, some anxiety. But eventually, everything gets, like, amazing. It's like a Technicolor dream that's your reality. And sure, some of our lives have some work. Okay. Yes, that is true. But that is why we're here, is to go through the struggles, to figure out how and why we're struggling through them, and to also realize that some of the struggles we have, we don't need to even go through them. We're just choosing to take that path. And I always find it interesting in my practice, because the reason why I do it is because I really, really, really love people. And there's not one person that I've met that I don't love. And I know that might sound crazy to some people, but you can altruistically love everybody. Now, you're not on a romantic side of things at all. I'm talking about, as a fellow human being, I care about their purpose, and I care about them as a person going through this world trying to find themselves. And I think it's interesting because, you know, a lot of times people don't realize that, you know, a lot of times when we talk about ourselves, you know, people will be like, man, you know, it's all about you. It's all about you. But it is all about you. FYI, just if you didn't know, the reason why you're here is to get to know why you're here. And the reason why you want to get to know why you're here is to understand your purpose. And once you understand your purpose even better, and you begin to love yourself, and you figure this all out, and you get rid of some of the bull crap in your life, all of a sudden things start coming clear. And that's when you're on the path to what I like to call recovery. The path to recovery outside of the BS that has been created for so long that you believe that it's real. And now you begin to see the world as it truly is, your universe as it truly is, and understand who you are. When we return, I'll be talking about more of the reasons why we feel like we don't have time for therapy, but better yet, where that actually takes us to. The spot in our life that I find is painful for me to even watch. Stay tuned. Check out my show on Spreaker, on iTunes, on podcasts on iTunes. Amazing stuff going on over there. As well as check out my website at ashleyburgess.com, ashleyburgess.com. Check out the Ashley Burgess Network. And I will be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I'm talking about the issues and struggles that I go through on a daily basis by being a caring and loving therapist. You know, we talk about the client, and we talk about the patient, and we talk about people going through amazing recovery. And, you know, we have these challenges, and as me, as somebody that cares, I get challenges too in my practice. And the first challenge that I have is when future clients or consistent clients say that they do not have time for therapy. They just don't have the time. They have all these responsibilities, things to do, a life to live, and they don't have time to come in 60 to 90 minutes a week and deal. And I find it interesting because I realize that these issues are not going to go away. They're just not. They're going to be lifelong issues until the person decides that they want to figure it out, see it for what it is, let it go, forgive the situation, find themselves, and move on. And yes, I have had clients graduate where they might come back maybe 3 times a year. Just for, you know, follow-ups, but they've graduated. They don't come back anymore. I'm not one of those serial psychologists that you will be there for the rest of your life and you'll always be there and there'll be an impression of your butt on my couch. No, that's not what I'm doing here. That's not what I'm doing at all. And I know that some of you have been through situations where you've gone through that and you got very little help and you feel like it was a waste of time. And I can understand that's painful. But there comes a time to try something new. And so the first thing is that when clients come to me and say they don't have time for therapy, it does kind of make me sad because I know that their issues aren't going to go away. But I also know that the more that they're spinning in circles, living the same life, not accepting their reality, not understanding their purpose, not loving themselves, and until they have that epiphany, really, which can arrive very late in life, and that's what I'm talking about, that deathbed wisdom, that book that I'm writing right now, where you don't figure out what's important until it's really almost too late. You have maybe a few days, a few months to put your life in order. But wouldn't it have been awesome to kind of live that way, like, for years? Wouldn't that have been awesome to know that information earlier and being able to live your life that way and being able to figure out the whole reason why we're here and experience maybe 30 years of your life really getting to know yourself and really understanding the purpose of your life? That, to me, is not a waste of time, being that that's the reason why we're here, okay? Just for the record, we are not here to accumulate a bunch of material items, okay? The thing about it is, it's interesting how we do collect things and we spend a lot of time to collect these things, but when it comes to the most important thing, we kind of miss the boat. You know, the next thing about the deathbed wisdom is that it kind of marks ourselves on the concept of wasted youth. The other day, I was listening to an old house song that I like, house music, and the production company was called Wasted Youth. And I started beginning to think about that because it, when I was younger, it didn't really make much sense to me. Older people would be like, oh, it's all wasted on youth. And I'm like, these people are just bitter and angry. But now I realize, think about the years that we've lost, where we were running in circles, didn't understand our value. We're always wanting other people to love us because if they loved us, then we had value. Like we were running after, if you were a girl, you were running after that guy that just didn't want to give you the time of day. If you were that guy, you were running after that girl that was cheating all over town. Everybody was trying to tell you and you weren't listening. We've all been there before. I mean, I've been the girl chasing after the guy. And, you know, yeah, he'd give me the time of day, but come on, I mean, it wasn't a very good relationship. Thank God I didn't fall into that. You know, but some of us end up marrying that person. Then we have to go through a divorce, and then we even have more of a difficult time trying to figure out who we are. Because, again, we feel like that marriage was our purpose, and we figured that we screw that purpose up, so now what do we have? We can't even make a marriage work. What the hell are we going to do now? And it really is wasted youth, because it's until we actually take a moment to functionally understand why we're here. Yes, we're youthful, and yes, we're living, but there are some things that I wish I could have figured it out back in my late teens and early 20s. I wish I could have gotten some of those years, and I've dealt with that regret, and I've dealt with it. But sometimes it comes back around when you see some people. And you don't want to ever compare yourself because your lives, you really just can't compare yourself. But when you do see some kids on the news making some amazing feats, finding the cures for this and that and doing some amazing things, and they seem to have it all together. The word seem is very important. However, you sit there and you kind of wonder, man, is everybody destined to have kind of a wasted youth? Or could we figured it out a little earlier? It also kind of breaks down to the concept of the wasted time. You know, when we don't take care of ourselves and when we feel that we don't have any time for what actually can help us, it does kind of create a waste of time because even if we're living our life and we have a lot going on, if we're not living with purpose, then what are we doing? I have a lot of folks that are personal friends that I don't see in my office because I feel that, you know, I can outsource some of that. And I feel bad because when I outsource, I'm not really sure if they're getting the best. But there are some folks that are very good. And there's a couple of people that I really appreciate in my life that are very good. But, you know, I wish I could see them too. But it's like I have to be very direct. Because I think that a good therapist owes it to their client to honestly understand, feel it. But over a period of time, allow them to figure it out and eventually be okay with possibly losing the client to better the client's life from here on out. And what I mean is that there are a lot of folks out there that don't want to really tell some folks how exactly the cow ate the cabbage because they're too busy focused on the money. I'm just breaking it down here tonight. And I found that there's very few qualified therapists out there that would rather see a client do really well than focus on the financial payoff. And that's also been, you know, at a problematic situation for myself is that I care so much about making sure that they do well that when a client's not really working on themselves not focusing, self-sabotaging over and over again, I have to let them go. Even though I might could use the money, okay? But there comes a time, ethical and ethics. Ethics are a big deal. And when you're looking for somebody, you want to find someone that's ethical, that has their ethics, and that money is not their bottom line. There's folks out there like that, okay? There might be a lot more than you think, and some of you might have met several of them. And that's the kind of person you don't want to see because they've missed the boat entirely. If the whole universe about figuring out your life is the most important thing, and having the relationship with yourself is the most important thing, and loving everybody and understanding why you love everybody is important, and understanding how to love yourself all the time is really important, and then figuring out your soul purpose, and that's really up there. If that's the case, then if you're going to a therapist, it's all there about the money, then you're going to the wrong person because they're not going to help you find what you are looking for. If I've never seen the key and you've come to me to find the key, I can't help you find the key because I don't even know where the key's at. I don't even know what the key looks like. I don't even know what the key goes to. And that's the key. It's a funny pun, right? Pardon my pun, but it is. It's the key. And that's what we're looking for in life. It's interesting because we all go through a process of learning ourselves and understanding ourselves. And some of us get to the point where we realize how valuable it is, while others of us don't until it's really too late. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody on my watch. Because it really is. It's like opening somebody's eyes, helping them open their eyes, and telling them that they can open their eyes, and suggesting how to do that, and giving them and offering the tools to do that. That is my belief system, and that's what I do. And when we come to break, right after break, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the next fallacy that I hear out of a lot of people's mouths. How that fallacy gets in the way of their relationship with themselves, but better yet, it's just another way of stopping themselves from learning about themselves, from doing better, and from succeeding. Stay tuned, I'll be talking more about that. And Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time, and well, let's come back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the issues and problems of a qualified therapist, what I go through on a daily basis, how I feel about dealing with my clients, and what I'd like to see happen. You know, it's interesting how I've done it. That's why I can understand is I have put roadblocks in my life forever in the past about getting better, about making life changes. I would find all kinds of ways to block myself from succeeding. I was very, very good at it. I was the best in the world at screwing myself over. And guess what? Everybody listening tonight, you are the best person to screw your own self over too, because you know all your ins and outs, you know how to press all your buttons, and you know inside how to do this. I'm telling you, it's true. And so earlier, right before the break, I was talking about how we're going to get into our next segment, and it was talking about how the next fallacy and the next issue that I hear from clients is that I cannot afford therapy. I cannot afford therapy. And I find it interesting because most of the time, when folks go into the mall, or they go into Neiman Marcus, or they go into Bloomingdale's, or they go into the car dealership, or they go into the restaurant, the first thing out of their mouth is not that I cannot afford this. Usually it's like, yeah, let me just put it on my credit card. And so I find it interesting how the relationship with yourself, being that that's the only one that honestly matters, figuring out who you are, finding out what to do about it, understanding your purpose, is the one thing that you just can't figure out how to afford. And I have clients that often come in that have their expensive, expensive handbags, and those handbags aren't going to change their life. That handbag's not going to have a genie in it somewhere, like Gucci or Louis Vuitton or whoever come up with a handbag that all of a sudden you open and you go, oh my God, there's a genie in there, and the genie's going to help me find out who I am. Hell no. No, there's not. But we'll buy those bags on credit card, we'll spend thousands of dollars on it, but when it comes to learning who we are, we just can't afford it. It's just too expensive. I just can't handle that. I also find it interesting, too, the cars that people drive, realizing that most of the time people are driving new cars. They're not driving old classic cars. And so there's a depreciation that's daily happening on that vehicle. And by the way, that car, it might be comfortable from A to B, but it's definitely not helping you figure out your life. But again, when you went to the dealership, you didn't sit there and say, no, can't afford it. You know, I think I'm just going to take the bus. I think that's what I'm going to do. Instead, you're like, yeah, let's finance that. Let's make that happen. But when it comes to your own personal knowledge of who you are, just can't afford it. Just can't do it. I'm going to get back with you at some point. We'll talk about that later. You know, and I find that a lot of men, and I'm not getting on y'all, but you know who you are. And I'm a technology buff too. I like technology. I like the latest gadgets. But we'll put that on the credit card for a lot of women out there. You know who you are. You'll take that awesome pair of shoes or two or three and put that on your credit card with no problem. Figuring out that you'll pay it off, you'll figure out how to do it. It's no big deal. But when it comes to personal help to find your true self, I just can't do it. And that really goes to show about where your values really lie. What's really important to you and what matters in your life. And it brings us down to the concept of the brass tacks, the reality of the situation. The honest reality of the situation nowadays, because things have changed throughout even my lifetime. I remember when I was younger and every doctor took insurance. And now after all these things have changed and people have changed and plans have happened and, you know, healthcare plans have come out and things have been passed by legislation, a lot of things have changed. And I found that a lot of people do not take insurance. And it's interesting how I used to always judge things and predicate things based on who took my insurance. And it wasn't until about 3 years ago where I'm a therapist, and a good therapist will occasionally go see a therapist. It's the way life is, because you don't really want to see a therapist who doesn't think that they might have challenges, okay? Because they just won't understand you, because if they're perfect, then they're definitely not going to understand you. Or if they think they're perfect because they're not, they're definitely going to overlook some stuff that you need to work on, and that could be a problem, and that is a problem. And so I occasionally go see a therapist, and I found a therapist that I really, really liked. The only problem is they didn't take insurance, and at first it became a real problem. And so I tried to go to somebody else, and I realized that they took insurance, and I had a copay, and that's fine, but I realized that wasn't going to really help me. And the brain and the smarts and the intelligence and the heart of this other person would. And so I didn't have to go as often. And I began to go. And I went against, it was antithetical to all that I believed. I was like, I have insurance, doggone it, I'm going to use it. But I realized sometimes the best care is not always there. I've also realized that when I was younger too, I knew that, or at least I thought that if I could just take a pill, my whole life would change. If I could find that one medicine that I would feel like ecstasy every day, all day long, and I'd feel like I was on cloud nine every second of every day, if I could just find that pill. And I remember I tried a couple of them when I was younger, and you know what? I realized that they can help. Yeah, they can help, but it's kind of the quick fix. It's kind of like the quick getting well in the parentheses, without getting to the core of the matter. And yes, medication coupled with therapy can do wonders, but I find that sometimes people don't even need to take medication. It's just about getting to the core of the issue, finding what the issue is, rectifying it, dealing with it, being able to see why we've chosen certain things and move on. And I find that works so well that even once we get past that, if somebody still has depression or whatever, we can still get to the core of that matter. But usually our emotional ties are from something that we've gone through, situations we haven't confronted, and things we haven't dealt with. And it's just like when somebody passes away. I had a client recently that lost their mother. And it was about 6 months ago when she passed. And we tried to work through it a little bit, but after the second appointment after her mom passed, she decided that she didn't need therapy anymore and that she didn't have time for it. And on the last meeting, I reminded her, I said, please remember that you have to mourn the death of a loved one, and you've got to deal with the emotions that come with it. You can't just sweep the emotions under the rug or take something, because what happens is you're kind of delaying. You're delaying the situation till much later on, and that usually doesn't work out well. Okay? It's like life. It's like it's easier to deal with the situation right now as it comes up than wait it out. We've all waited out things, right? And how well does that feel? It sucks. We've all waited out the inevitable, and we're over there stressing out about the inevitable when we could have taken care of it right now. And yes, sometimes pulling off that Band-Aid really does hurt. But does it hurt as much as waiting? I think it hurts less because you get over it. I've sat there and waited out on discussions that I needed to have with people, and it kept me up at night because I would wonder, will they accept this? How will this go? Is this going to work out? And the same applies to our emotions. When we basically offset the demarcation of when we have to deal with our emotion, we offset all this and we allow other things to couple in there. We also, that mourning that we should have done and that anger and that resentment that we have starts getting covered up by other things, and we start living a life that's not on point because we're not actually focusing on how we truly feel because we're hiding our emotions. I had a client the other day ask me if it's okay that they're thinking about their ex. And I said, I would hope that you think about your ex. I mean, it takes somebody that is emotionally shut off to not think about somebody that they broke up with 4 months ago. And I think that when you go see somebody and deal with your emotional stance and understand that you're able to deal with all this baggage, and most of it's emotional and mental baggage that came from things that happened, and we're able to basically open up that luggage, open it up, put it on the bed, open it all the way up, take the different compartments out, and work at each compartment to eliminate that stuff in each one of those compartments. You're not putting it back in the bag. You're taking it out. You're dealing with it. You're confronting it. You're accepting it. You're moving on, right? But in order to do that, you have to work on yourself. And I find that it's the one thing that's so important is just taking that time. Just taking that time, because when we don't deal with things, when we don't deal with the heart of the matter, the things that we need to deal with, guess what happens? It eats us up inside. It makes us drink more, eat more for some of us who use alcohol to kind of cut the feeling of being there, wanting to kind of feel a little more lucid. For some of us who have eating disorders where we overeat, maybe we starve ourselves because that's how we deal with it. Perhaps we smoke weed to forget about it, to numb our emotions. Or maybe we do cocaine, or maybe we just don't want to deal with it at all. We feel like if we keep running from this, it will eventually go away, but it's not true. It's in the same circumstances, in the same vein as having problems in your hometown and deciding to go move somewhere. But once you move there, you realize that the problems followed you because the problems you're dealing directly are within you. And we've all had problems and issues within us. That's just the way life is. We're human beings. That's how we are. We were constructed to have some problems and to overcome the problems, figure out why we had the problems, love ourselves, and move on. This is the general deal here. It's like a premise of a film, right? Everybody's a film. Everybody has to go through crap, and everybody comes out the other side one way or another. They either wait a long, long time and have a bunch of regret, or they figure it out. I mean, this is kind of the plot of the film here, guys. This is what we have here. Okay, I'm just pointing. I'm like, you know, what's that Ebert guy? You know, the two thumbs up guy. Here I am. And right now, some of us feel like we have two thumbs down on our film. But why is that? Because we haven't looked at the reasons why our plot is the way it is. We haven't looked at the reasons why our character goes through crap and back. Why is everybody always messing on me? Why is this always happening to me? Why, God, why? And it's interesting how until we deal with these issues, we can't confront them. And we can't get to the point of our life that we want. Like, we'll hear people talking about how great their life is or how beautiful the life is or how amazing their life is. And you're just like, what the hell? Are these people on drugs? I mean, what are they smoking? I mean, they're trying to tell me that their life is grand and they're great. I mean, why? And some people honestly have figured it out and they realize how amazing life is. And yeah, sure, you're going to have some ups and downs. Sure, you're going to have some things that you might feel a little like, man, this is kind of an off week or, you know, I don't know. But in reality, once you get to know yourself and understand your purpose, all changes. All changes. Because you begin to see things for the amazing ability and the amazing awesomeness that it truly is without being clouded and cluttered by the emotional baggage that we haven't yet dealt with. When we return, I'll be talking about the three things that pain me the most of being a therapist. And I think you might get a kick out of some of this stuff, but I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about why it does, because I think you need to know where I'm coming from. And I think it might actually explain a lot of things based in our lives as human beings. And we've all been there before. And it might actually tickle some of y'all. It might actually laugh. And others of you, it might hit home right now. It might make you think a little bit about maybe where your life's going. Stay tuned. Check out my website. Check me out at Twitter, at Ashley Burgess is my handle, at Ashley Burgess. Check us out on Facebook. Ashley Burgess is my page. And I post videos every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on those videos. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time and, well, be back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been talking about the issues and struggles of an actual caring therapist and what goes into being a therapist, but more likely what happens when we see people that we're working with not living up to their full expectation. And a lot of times it comes down to the fact that people claim that they have no time for therapy, or they claim that they can't afford it, even though they will put anything and everything on their credit card. But more than that, there's a lot more than that. There's a pain that comes and is inflicted when you see a client and you can see their actual magic. You can see that they have magic, that they have ability, that they have a lot going for them. It's basically, I can see their potential. And when you see certain people's potential, you really want to see it grow. Like, it becomes an important thing. And you're out there and you think, gosh, I just hope this person finds themselves, because I can see a glimpse here and there of how amazing they are. And I wish they could see it too. But when we're so close to it, it's hard for us to acknowledge what really is inside. And it's really true. It's like a lot of times we find it hard to see our true self because we're so close to it that the things that are really magical and radiant just kind of get lost in the shuffle. And when I see those things in a client and that client is resisting working with me because of whatever reason they can come up with to basically sabotage themselves, it's painful to watch. It's painful to watch. And yes, I do allow some definition and movement between myself and my clients, and the fact that I'm not wearing my emotions on my sleeve. There's a division between us two. But at the same point, I am human. I do love people and I do care for them. And because I do care about honestly helping people out and helping them co-change and work their life out, it does occasionally get to me. You know, the second thing that is a big deal, the second thing that happens to me often is that I see what people are holding on to. I can see what they're holding on to, but I can also see what they're holding on to is also holding them down. Because there's a lot of things, we make decisions about ourselves all the time. I've done it myself where I find the value in myself based on a person or a thing, and I hold on to that for dear life, right? And I feel that if I lose that person or if I lose that thing, I lose my identity, I lose my value, Or maybe I don't even see my value, and I see that by having that, that defines my value. And I see that often with folks that come into my office who define themselves and base their value on another person, especially when they base their value on another person who wants nothing to do with them. And that's always a hard ticket. I've had that before, and I understand. I've dated someone in the past where it's not, you know, they wanted to hang out with you, but they wanted to hang out with you on their own time. They wanted you to be a certain way, okay? And they wanted all this, and all their love was basically, you know, predicated on the fact that you would be who they want to be and do what they wanted you to do. And I see clients come in my office who, for one reason or another, is no longer with that person, and would give their left hand to be back with that person, even though that person doesn't love them for who they truly are. And the reason for that is that we base our value on that relationship. When that person ends the relationship, we lose our value because our value was basically predicated and stuck within that person. The sad part of it is that we don't see the value in ourselves. Because we don't see the value in ourselves, what happens? We lose the value when that person leaves us. And because we don't see the value, we feel that if we can just get that person back, we'll be right again. And just for the record, when you begin to really love yourself and you care about yourself and you begin to understand what I've been talking about this entire show, when that person does come back, which they usually will, you want nothing to do with them. And you want nothing to do with them because you begin to see through their situation and realize that they are very lost and they are very upset and they're very angry at life. And maybe they've always been able to manipulate people, but you realize that your value has nothing to do with them. And you also begin to realize that you have more value and you're more valuable than that relationship ever was. And you take it a step further, and the better and the quicker and the faster and the stronger you get, you realize that by if you went back to them, you would actually lose part of yourself, and there wouldn't be very long that you could do it before you would have to break free and break those ties, because it's just not being honest with yourself. You're not being true to yourself. You can't be authentic in life if you're holding on to people and things who are holding you down. And there's just the flip side to that coin as well, is that you're holding yourself down by holding on to them. And I realize that this show means that you have to take responsibility. And I realize that some people don't want to take responsibility for their life, and so therefore they live kind of in a constant movement, constant non-knowledgeable, not really understanding where they are type of lifestyle. And that's fine. But I kind of figured that when we realize, even if you don't realize it right now, I'm explaining the fact that the most important relationship we have with is ourself. If we have a great relationship with ourselves and we love ourselves, we can have great relationships with other people and we can love them for real. No strings attached as well. Also, we get to realize our purpose here on Earth, and our purpose is not really about other people. Yes, it can be about helping people and indirectly or directly about helping people, but it's not necessarily one person is not your purpose. You have a purpose within you that has to be carried out by you, right? And so it's not like you can put your purpose in somebody else. You can't put your purpose in a friend or a family member or a husband or a wife or a kid. And a lot of times we see society, we look at the news, we look at media, we look at pop culture, and we see how other people are living, and we have a tendency of the third situation as a therapist that just can upset me, and I don't know, it just has that feeling, I'm just like, God, I just want to like wake the person up to shake them awake, is that I see the bill of goods that they bought into. You know, whether mom or dad didn't really know and were teaching them all that they knew, maybe they taught them a certain limiting lifestyle behavior, maybe by watching the news, watching the media, watching pop culture, believing that women either have to be one of two things. They either have to be the mother raising the children, or they have to be, you know, a hardcore woman that doesn't need a man, doesn't need this, that makes her own money, pays her own bills. I mean, there's all these extremes we see in society today based on race, based on sex, who we're supposed to be, we think. And it's got to be difficult when women and men, women particularly, going through the process of wanting to be taken care of, wanting to have a husband, wanting to be taken care of, but at the same time wanting to have their own life and having to divide that up between what? Between having security versus having an authentic life. And I find that when we kind of step back from that and peel that onion and get out of that relationship, and once we realize our sole purpose, we're able to find a relationship that actually offers and allows us to search that purpose instead of the other way around. And that's not just a sex issue. That's also for men and female, because there's other men out there who get into marriages and relationships who believe that they should take care of somebody. And they're taking care of that person and think that that's their purpose, but when in reality, they're off target. And so they kind of get off target, they get a little resentful, they get a little angry based on that fact, and it takes them off target, and it takes them years to either go through a divorce, reconcile with that, maybe go through therapy and figure out who they are to get back on target. And I find it very interesting, because when we buy into these certain bill of goods that aren't real, we limit ourselves on every single level. And when I see clients limiting themselves on every level, I feel sad for them, because I've done that so many times in my past. I made limitations on myself. I was the one that got in my own way every single time. And I care so much because I would like them to get to that next level at a decently early age where there's very little regret. Because I find regret a very painful experience. And I hope that none of my clients ever really feel that way. And if they do, we'll work through it. But I feel that the more we resist who we are, the more we put that on the back burner, the more excuses we find not to find our true self, we cause massive amounts of regret later on in our life. Last but not least, the one thing that I find, and I don't know about other people, I'm only speaking for myself here, is when clients call me and apologize to me for canceling their appointment or canceling their therapy work. And I don't say this because I usually don't want to say this, or if it's in a text message, I don't feel like texting this back. However, FYI, it's not about apologizing to me. It's not about apologizing to your therapist. It's about apologizing to your inner child for ignoring yourself for one more day. Remember, it's not about apologizing to me. It's about apologizing to yourself. Apologizing to your inner self for ignoring your purpose and ignoring who you truly are for another day, another week, another month, another year. And I know that this is a lot. It's a lot to take on, but life is amazing. And once we begin to realize all that we have and all that life has to offer, we see the big picture. We begin to understand our place in this world. And better yet, we begin to realize the love that surrounds us. It's an amazing time to be living. And once we realize that and understand what we have to offer and understand all the amazing gifts we have, we can begin to live as though we realize and know our personal power. Stay tuned. I'll have a great show for you next. Check out AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Go on Facebook and check out my videos that I post for Monday Motivation, Transformation Tuesday, and hashtag TBT Throwback Thursday. Go on and tweet me and tell me how you're living your true life by adding a hashtag LYTL, which means live your true life. Live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in three shakes.